Bernard went red with anger. "Who did this?" he shouted.
"God," said Shen.
"It sure as hell wasn't you. This takes too much brains for a worm." Ender's message expired after 5 minutes. After a while, a message from Bernard appeared on his desk. "I know it was you, Bernard." Ender didn't look up. He acted, in fact, as if he hadn't seen the message. "Bernard just wants to catch me looking guilty. He doesn't know." Of course, it didn't matter if he knew. Bernard would punish him all the more because he had to rebuild his position. The one thing he couldn't stand was having the other boys laughing at him. He had to make clear who was boss. So Ender got knocked down in the shower that morning. One of Bernard's boys pretended to trip over him and managed to plant a knee in his belly. Ender took it in silence. He was still watching, as far as the open war was concerned. He would do nothing. But in the other war, the war of desks, he already had his next attack in place. When he got back from the shower, Bernard was raging, kicking beds and yelling at boys, "I didn't write it! Shut up!" Marching constantly around every boy's desk was this message. "I love your butt. Let me kiss it, Bernard."
"I didn't write that message!"
Bernard shouted. After the shouting had been going on for some time, Dap appeared at the door. "What's the fuss?" he asked.
"Somebody's been writing messages using my name."
Bernard was sullen.
"What message?"
"It doesn't matter what message."
"It does to me."
Dap picked up the nearest desk, which happened to belong to the boy who bunked above Ender. Dap read it, smiled very slightly, gave back the desk.
"Interesting," he said.
"Aren't you going to find out who did it?" demanded Bernard.
"Oh, I know who did it," Dap said.
Yes, Ender thought. The system was too easily broken. They mean us to break it, or sections of it. They know it was me.
"Well, who then?"
Bernard shouted.
"Are you shouting at me, soldier?"
asked Dap very softly. At once, the mood in the room changed. From rage on the part of Bernard's closest friends and barely contained mirth among the rest, all became somber. Authority was about to speak.
"No, sir," said Bernard.
"Everybody knows that the system automatically puts on the name of the sender."
"I didn't write that,"
Bernard said.
"Shouting?"
asked Dap.
"Yesterday somebody sent a message that was signed God,"
Bernard said.
"Really?" said Dap. "I didn't know he was signed onto the system."
Dap turned and left, and the room filled with laughter. Bernard's attempt to be ruler of the room was broken. Only a few stayed with him now. But they were the most vicious, and Ender knew that until he was through watching, it would go hard on him. Still, his tampering with the system had done its work. Bernard was contained, and all the boys who had some quality were free of him. Best of all, Ender had done it without sending him to the hospital. Much better this way. Then he settled down to the serious business of designing a security system for his own desk, since the safeguards built into the system were obviously inadequate. If a 6-year-old could break them down, they were obviously put there as a plaything, not serious security. Just another game that the teachers set up for us. And this one I'm good at.
"How did you do that?"
Shen asked him at breakfast. Ender noted quietly that this was the first time another launchee from his own class had sat with him at a meal.
"Do what?" he asked.
"Send a message with a fake name. And Bernard's name. That was great. They're calling him Butt Watcher now. Just Watcher in front of the teachers, but everybody knows what he's watching."
"Poor Bernard," Ender murmured. "And he's so sensitive."
"Come on, Ender. You broke into the system. How'd you do it?"
Ender shook his head and smiled.
"Thanks for thinking I'm bright enough to do that. I just happened to see it first, that's all."
"Okay, you don't have to tell me," said Shen.
"Still, it was great." They ate in silence for a moment.
"Do I wiggle my butt when I walk?"
"Nah," Ender said. "Just a little. Just don't take such big, long steps, that's all." Shen nodded. The only person who'd ever notice was Bernard.
"He's a pig," said Shen.
Ender shrugged.
"On the whole, pigs aren't so bad,"
Shen laughed.
"You're right. I wasn't being fair to the pigs."
They laughed together, and two other launchees joined them. Ender's isolation was over.
The war was just beginning.
We've had our disappointments in the past, hanging on for years, hoping they'll pull through, and then they don't. Nice thing about Ender, he's determined to ice within the first 6 months.
Oh?
Don't you see what's going on here? He's stuck at the Giants drinking the mind game. Is the boy suicidal? You never mentioned it.
Everybody gets the Giants sometime.
But Ender won't leave it alone. Like Pinuel.
Everybody looks like Pinuel at one time or another. But he's the only one who killed himself. I don't think it had anything to do with the Giants drink.
You're betting my life on that. And look what he's done with his launch group.
Wasn't his fault, you know.
I don't care. His fault or not, he's poisoning that group. They're supposed to bond, and right where he stands, there's a chasm a mile wide.
I don't plan to leave him there very long anyway.
Then you better plan again. That launch is sick, and he's the source of the disease. He stays till it's cured.
I was the source of the disease. I was isolating him, and it worked.
Give him time with the group to see what he does with it.
We don't have time.
Well, we don't have time to rush too fast with a kid who has as much chance of being a monster as a military genius.
Is this an order?
The recorder's on. It's always on. Your ass is covered. Go to hell.
If it's an order, then I'll...
It's an order. Hold him where he is until we see how he handles things in his launch group. Jesus, Graf, you give me ulcers.
You wouldn't have ulcers if you'd leave the school to me and take care of the fleet yourself.
The fleet is looking for a battle commander. There's nothing to take care of until you get me that.
They filed clumsily into the battle room like children in a swimming pool for the first time, clinging to the handholds along the side. Null gravity was frightening, disorienting. They soon found that things went better if they didn't use their feet at all. Worse, the suits were confining. It was harder to make precise movements since the suits bent just a bit slower, resisted a bit more than any clothing they had ever worn before. Ender gripped the handhold and flexed his knees. He noticed that, along with the sluggishness, the suit had an amplifying effect on movement. It was hard to get them started, but the suit's legs kept moving, and strongly, after his muscles had stopped. Give them a push this strong, and the suit pushes with twice the force. I'll be clumsy for a while. Better get started. So, still grasping the handhold, he pushed off strongly with his feet. Instantly, he flipped around, his feet flying over his head, and landed flat on his back against the wall. The rebound was stronger, it seemed, and his hands tore loose from the handhold. He flew across the battle room, tumbling over and over. For a sickening moment, he tried to retain his old up-and-down orientation, his body attempting to right itself, searching for the gravity that wasn't there. Then he forced himself to change his view. He was hurtling toward a wall that was down, and at once he had control of himself. He wasn't flying, he was falling. This was a dive. He could choose how he would hit the surface. I'm going too fast to catch a hold and stay, but I can soften the impact. I can fly off at an angle if I roll when I hit and use my feet. It didn't work at all the way he had planned. He went off at an angle, but it was not the one he had predicted, nor did he have time to consider. He hit another wall, this time too soon to have prepared for it. But quite accidentally, he discovered a way to use his feet to control the rebound angle. Now he was soaring across the room again toward the other boys who still clung to the wall. This time he had slowed enough to be able to grip a rung. He was at a crazy angle in relation to the other boys, but once again his orientation had changed, and as far as he could tell, they were all lying on the floor, not hanging on a wall, and he was no more upside down than they were. "What are you trying to do, kill yourself?" asked Shen. "Try it," Ender said. "The suit keeps you from hurting yourself, and you can control your bouncing with your legs, like this." He approximated the movement he had made. Shen shook his head. He wasn't trying any fool stunt like that. But one boy did take off, not as fast as Ender had, because he didn't begin with a flip, but fast enough. Ender didn't even have to see his face to know that it was Bernard, and right after him, Bernard's best friend, Ali. Ender watched them cross the huge room, Bernard struggling to orient himself to the direction he thought of as the floor, Ali surrendering to the movement and preparing to rebound from the wall. No wonder Bernard broke his arm in the shuttle, Ender thought. He tightens up when he's flying. He panics. Ender stored the information away for future reference. And another bit of information, too. Ali did not push off in the same direction as Bernard. He aimed for a corner of the room. Their paths diverged more and more as they flew, and where Bernard made a clumsy, crunching landing and bounce on his wall, Ali did a glancing triple bounce on three surfaces near the corner that left him most of his speed and sent him flying off at a surprising angle. Ali shouted and whooped, and so did the boys watching him. Some of them forgot they were weightless and let go of the wall to clap their hands. Now they drifted lazily in many directions, waving their arms, trying to swim. Now that's a problem, thought Ender. What if you catch yourself drifting? There's no way to push off.